Apollos here is a man of exceptional learning. When he believed in the Bible, he believed in Christ. He had an allegorical interpretation of the Old Testament, which really meant that all recorded events have an inner meaning to just what is written on the page, the black and white. And that became a great advantage when he was preaching. He would find and convince the hearers that Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament, as he would take scriptures and point to Jesus Christ. Powerful.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 18 with a message titled Mighty in the Scriptures.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
What we're finding here is Paul is returning to his home church there in Antioch after his second missionary journey. And always when they get back from a missionary journey, they give the report of what the Holy Spirit had done and the people that were saved and maybe some of the controversy and some of the trials that they had to deal with. But it was always a great time for them to talk about and discuss and share with the church that stayed behind, that supported and prayed for. Here's what happened. Church, men and women in the church. And so it was always a great time for Paul to get back. But then he stayed there in Antioch for a period of time. And we don't quite know how long. Some commentators say maybe probably about a year. And then he heads off in his third missionary journey. And that's what we get to this morning, that third missionary journey. But let's begin in verse 22. And when he had landed, that's Paul had landed in Caesarea. Now that's Caesarea by the sea, right by the on the Mediterranean. Remember, Cornelius, he lived there. He was a centurion. He got saved. They had a great port there. So he went from Caesarea and they went up to greet the church that would be up in Jerusalem. Remember, Paul had taken a vow. And so he went there to complete that vow and visit the church and the brethren there. And then he went down to Antioch. That's his home church. And then verse 23, and having spent some time there, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia and strengthened all the disciples. So maybe a year there or so, some commentators say, but he spent some time there. And now he goes on this third missionary journey. But notice what he's doing on the way. He's really got a pastor's heart. He's strengthening the brothers and sisters and the new works that have begun. He's strengthening the hearts. And that's always the desire of a pastor, always the desire of a leader, to build up the saints in their most holy faith, to strengthen them in their resolve for the Lord, strengthen them in their faith. You see, it's not just coming forward in salvation. And I know we give an opportunity for people to receive Christ on Sunday mornings. I mean, I received Christ with a fella. I just talked with his wife last week who went home to be with the Lord. And he was the one that led me to the Lord down in Waikiki doing stupid, crazy things. And it's not just receiving the Lord for salvation, but it's going forward. It's maturing in the things of the Lord. And that was Paul's heart. That's what he was doing here. You see, he was not content, just content with, as one commentator said, scalps on his belt of converts for Christ. Not just marking, notching as I made this convert here and doing that. But he sought to fulfill Jesus' command to make disciples, to make disciples of all nations. When we come to the Lord, then it's the discipling that takes place. And it takes place through the Word of God and through prayer and through praise and worship and through the body of Christ. That's why I love, and you saw it in the bulletin this morning, Sean Goodson's class on the foundations. That's really discipling people, taking special care and discipling them up in the things of the Lord. What an important ministry that is. Join that class. I think you'll be the better and the wiser for doing so. You'll really grow in the things of the Lord. But that word that we find here in verse 23, strengthening the disciples, the term means to make firm, to make solid, or set fast in the faith. You see, you come forward and you put your faith in Jesus, but now it needs to be set firm. I mean, if you've worked in concrete, you know that you have a limited amount of time with that concrete to work that concrete. And if it goes off on you, you're done. It goes off on you, you who work in concrete. I have a little bit, but I'm not an expert in that. And I've had concrete go off on me, so I know that. But more so, I know resin. I know working in surfboards. You have a limited amount of time to glass that board when you're putting on the resin and the cloth and stuff. And if you mistime it, when that goes off, it's off. It's firm. It's solid. You see, and that's what we want in our life, to be solid, to be fixed firmly in our faith. You see, and the idea is to stabilize by providing support so our faith doesn't wobble. So it doesn't lean to one side or the other with the winds of doctrine, that it's not blown over by these winds and these storms and these spiritual warfare that takes place, because there's a lot of things out there that wants to upset you in your faith. And so you need a solid foundation. You need to be strengthened in the things of the Lord. You know, before Pastor Chuck Smith went home to be with the Lord, he was my pastor. He was my father figure as well. As I've mentioned before, I had about five fathers, and none did I know well. Not even my real father did I know well. And my real father died of cirrhosis of the liver in his early 30s. So, but he was never around, but Chuck, he was really a mentor spiritually, but also a father figure. And so before Chuck went home to be with the Lord, I got one of Chuck's Bibles, you know, the New King James, and he has a lot of notes in there. And I said, Chuck, could you sign the Bible for me? Because I knew Chuck's wasn't going to be around forever, just like all of us aren't going to be around forever, except with the Lord forever. But here on earth, I knew he wasn't, so he did. He signed it, you know, and my name and all, and just love it. My wife's using that Bible now, by the way. So I was just going to kind of set it aside, but she's using it. But one of the things that he wrote there is a personal address to me, but he signed it in 3 John 4. And that was Chuck's heart. And that scripture reads, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children are walking in truth. That was Chuck's heart, to strengthen and have those that were following the Lord and looking to Chuck as their pastor, as their mentor, to be walking in truth. So Paul, he had that heart. He wanted to strengthen. And so Paul's journey to Ephesus. Now, he's on his way to Ephesus, remember. It's quite a long journey. It's about 1,000+ miles, at least, you know, by land. But he's on his way to Ephesus, and he could take a faster, an easier route, and yet for the sake of nurturing the brothers and sisters, he travels about 1,000+ miles from Antioch to Ephesus by land, on foot. He could have sailed. It would have been easier. But his heart was for the saints, for the brothers and sisters in the Lord, for the disciples. It says strengthening the disciples. And now, if you're a disciple of Christ, the word means a learner. You're learning about the Lord, learning of the Lord. You're a follower of Jesus. That's what you are as a disciple. We can't call ourselves a disciple if we're not learning about the Lord, if we're not following the Lord. Remember what Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says that in Matthew chapter 11. And so his yoke, that's a steering device we're following. Not following our own way, but following his way. Actually, in the cafe, we were able to find a yoke when we were in the mainland and bring it over here to put in the cafe. And it's cool because I think Jesus was a yoke maker back in those days because he worked in wood. And the houses were made out of stone. And of course, the roofs would be thatched and have some wood on them, but probably hoes and certain implements for agriculture, but yokes, definitely. And so when you talk about a yoke, the heavy part is on the Lord. The light part is on us so he could steer us. And so that's what he tells us. And we're a learner. Notice also, I think it's interesting when we mention what region he goes into, Galatia and Phrygia. Notice these regions are the regions that Paul, he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into on that second missionary journey. Remember in chapter 16, verse 6, "And they passed through Phrygia and Galatia region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia." Interesting. Forbidden. Second missionary journey. Now he's going in his third missionary journey, and he's strengthening those who are in the churches that are now saved. And you think, well, how did that happen then? I mean, Paul didn't visit there. The Holy Spirit forbid him. But now we find churches, we find disciples there. Well, others were saved. Unnamed believers who went and preached and established new works there. Not all of God's kids are mentioned in the Bible. You see, God is not limited to just a few anointed people like Paul, the apostle. He uses you. He uses me. You see, that's what I love. So here, Paul, now, as some have planted and watered, and Paul is going to these areas now, and he's seeking to build up and strengthen. And yet they were saved and churches planted by just ordinary unnamed people like us. You know, I think of some of the great men of God, women of God as well, who really had great impact in the church. I think of Charles Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, the prince of preachers in the 19th century and going into the 20th century. Just powerful, powerful man. Anything you can get by Spurgeon is deep. You'll have to read it slow because you have to meditate. It goes deep, deep, deep down inside. It's not just surface. It's deep. But it's so interesting, his conversion in a blinding snowstorm. He was just about 15 years old, and he was diverted down a side street, and he ducked into the shelter of a small chapel, small church on Artillery Street. This unknown lay preacher from the congregation, he stepped into the pulpit because the pastor was snowed in. He couldn't get out. So this lay farmer got in the pulpit, and he opened the Bible to Isaiah 45:22. It says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." Spurgeon goes on in his biography. If you get his biography, I don't even know if we have in the bookstore, but fantastic by Dalimar. Incredible. But he said, Spurgeon said, "He had not much to say, thank God, for that compelled him to keep on repeating his text, and there was nothing needed. He pointed to where I was sitting, shouting, 'Look, look, young man, look now.' Then I had this vision in my heart. I saw what a Savior Christ was. I understood what he was to believe in, and I did believe in one moment." From that point on, with this lay preacher, this farmer, this fellow that wasn't familiar with the pulpit, but he just stepped in because the pastor was out, Charles Spurgeon, his life was turned around. You see, we don't need the great names and the great people that maybe we look up to, but God looks to us. He gives us divine opportunities, and we need to take those. You see, if they didn't take those divine opportunities, maybe Paul would have sailed around and gone to the churches that he had planted. Or maybe he would have gone through there and plant those churches in that Phrygian Galatia region. Well, we go on, verse 24. Now, a Jew named Apollos. Now, here's kind of a sidebar where Luke, who's writing, he's writing not only the Gospel of Luke, but he's writing Acts. A little bit of a sidebar where he looks to this man, Apollos. Now, a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So he had limited knowledge. But he was familiar, he was instructed in the way. Actually, the church in the beginning, it was called the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so they deemed those Christians back then the way. Only later were they deemed Christians, and it was an offensive term because it was really criticizing them. They're a Christian, Christ-like. But the way, so he had a familiarization with Christianity, not just the full revelation yet. We'll look at that in a moment. Now, what Luke does, he gives this side note concerning, and he leaves that narrative of Paul's third missionary journey, and he recounts what happened in Ephesus. He's also later going to talk about Corinth, because Apollos does go to Ephesus. He also goes to Corinth, so we'll see that as we go on. Not this morning, but we'll see that later. Remember, Paul was in Ephesus. He was there. He went to the synagogue. They wanted him to stay, but he said, no, I'll come back if the Lord leads. And the Lord did lead for him to go back. But Apollos was there in Ephesus after Paul departed. But remember who Paul left from our last chapter in Ephesus. He left Aquila and Priscilla there. These were companions. These were those that were helping in the work of the Lord. And so the story of this mighty preacher, Apollos, who spoke out, he spoke out on what he knew. You don't have to share what you don't know. Just share what you do know about Jesus Christ. I have to say, I am not a theologian. I know the Bible, but I can't speak on certain things that theologians speak on. I have to study those things. But I speak out on what I know, and so you as well. When you share with your family, your friends, just share what you know. That's what Apollos does. He shares what he knows. Although, notice what it says here. Notice what we see here. Although he's, quote, eloquent, he's mighty, he's fervent, and he's accurate. Those are great commendations for this man. And one of the greatest commendations is he's teachable. He's teachable with all these attributes, eloquent, mighty, fervent, accurate. He's teachable. And he receives greater revelation about Jesus Christ because he's willing to listen to Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla the wife, Aquila the man. Putting her name first. It's interesting, and we'll mention that in a minute, why they put her name first. You see, what I find, it's impossible to teach a know-it-all. And there are a lot of know-it-alls. Those in desperate need of being taught, but their pride doesn't allow it. They just know it all. You can't tell me anything. You see, the Bible tells us, let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks that he is wise among you in this age, Let him become a fool that he may become wise. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Oh, before I was a Christian, I thought I knew so much. Young people think they know so much. You know, when they're in their teens, they don't want to listen to, older people because they don't really know what's happening. Well, the Bible tells us when you are a know-it-all, you're not going to learn anything because you know it all, or you think you know it all. You need to become, as the Bible says, become as a fool. In other words, hey, I need knowledge. The fool will reject knowledge. The wise person will receive knowledge and become wiser. You see, Apollos was willing to listen. He was from Alexandria, as it says here, verse 24, Alexandria by birth. That was an amazing city, and it was founded in 332 BC by Alexander the Great, that great conqueror. Alexander settled a colony of Jews there, which over time grew to be one-third of the population, one-third of all residents. Probably at about the time that Paul visits there, there's probably about 1 million Jews. And it is said that 2 out of the 5 districts in Alexandria were Jewish. So there was a strong presence of Jewish influence there in Alexandria. Another thing about that city, it was a great city of learning. It had a great university. It had a tremendous library. Tremendous scholars were there. Philo, who was alive at the time, he was there. He was a great influence. And I think Apollos here is a man of exceptional learning, very intelligent man. And at that time, they had a certain type of belief in their philosophy, in their scholarship. They believed in allegorical interpretations. Now, that's what Apollos came with when he believed in the Bible. He believed in Christ. He had an allegorical interpretation of the Old Testament, which really meant that all recorded events have an inner meaning. So an inner meaning to just what is written on the page, the black and white. And that became a great advantage when he was preaching. Because when he was preaching out of the Old Testament and what he knew of Jesus Christ, he would find and convince the hearers that Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament, as he would take scriptures and point to Jesus Christ. Powerful.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 18, titled Mighty in the Scriptures. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 18. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.